Welcome to Land the Plane. This is your weekly half hour about software engineering, AI-assisted development, and what it actually takes to lead engineering teams in 2026. I am your host. This is episode 5. Good to have you here. Same shape as always. A few things that landed this week, up top. Then one longer argument, usually opinionated. Then a couple of things you can actually do before next week. Last week I left you with a promise. I said the most valuable thing an engineer does now is not type and not even review, it is to specify intent. To say clearly, precisely enough to be checked against, what correct means. And I said the real question for this week was what it actually looks like to get good at that. I'm not going to answer that from theory today. I'm going to answer it from a room. Because I spent this week in that room, a stretch of 4-day builds. Cross-functional teams, agentic workflows, no scoreboard, and no prize, just one honest question put to each group. In 4 days, with agents doing the construction, what can you actually build, and is it the right thing? The room answered faster than any framework could. Let us get into it. 4 things on the radar before the main piece. What? The shape of the job is changing, and a practitioner named Eddie Osmani put the cleanest name on it recently. He calls it the move from conductor to orchestrator, from writing the code yourself to directing a small ensemble of agents that write it for you. And the counterintuitive thing the people who have actually gotten good at this keep reporting is that a few focused agents, each pointed at one narrow slice of the problem, reliably beat one agent told to go off and do everything. Sit with what that means for a team. The valuable human skill is no longer typing fast. It is decomposition and direction, breaking a problem into pieces clean enough to hand out and conducting the result. The big organized builds this spring made it visual, single projects running on 8 agents coordinated by a router, one person standing at the podium. The keyboard is becoming a baton. Oh. The data caught up to the vibe this quarter. Anthropic put out its 2026 Agentic Coding Trends report in January, and 2 numbers in it matter for us. The first, AI is now involved in around 60% of coding work. The second, and this is the one nobody quotes, only 0 to 20% of tasks are fully handed off to the agent. They have a name for the space between those 2 numbers. They call it the delegation gap. People are using agents on almost everything and trusting agents to finish almost nothing. And the report's own framing of why is the sentence I want stapled to this episode, the bottleneck is no longer writing the code. It is clarity about what to build. That is not my opinion this week. That is the tooling vendor's own telemetry. Hey! And here is who is picking up the baton. Vercel put out a state of vibe coding report this year, and the number that stopped me was this, 63% of the people using these AI app builders are not developers. Not engineers. Product people, designers, marketers, operations folks, building working software by describing it. Now hold that one honestly, because it is a survey of people already reaching for an AI builder, not a census of the whole industry. It tells you who is inside the tent, not that 2/3 of all software suddenly changed hands. But inside the tent, the composition flipped. The people building are, more and more, the people who were never allowed to build before. Remember that number when we get to the main piece, because it is the whole story of who walks through the door. Par. And the counterweight, because there's always one and you should hear it next to the rest. MIT published a study this year that turned into the most quoted number in enterprise AI. Of all the generative AI pilots companies have launched, roughly 95% never make it into production. 95. They demo, they impress, they earn a budget line, and then they die somewhere in the gap between the prototype and the real thing. Now put that next to the security audits from this quarter. A paper titled Plainly Is Vibe Coding Safe found that more than 80% of the solutions that functionally work, the ones that would have demoed clean, still carried an exploitable vulnerability. 2 different failures, the same shape. The thing runs. The thing demos. And then, 4 times out of 5, it is either carrying a hole or it never lands at all. Hold that, because it is the whole back half of this episode. Why a working demo and a finished product are not remotely the same thing, and why 4 days of agentic building is exactly where you will confuse them. Let me put you in the room. It is day 1, mid-afternoon, of a 4-day build. Small group mixed, a couple of engineers, a product person, a designer, and someone from the support side of the house, the person who reads the angry tickets all day and knows exactly where the product hurts. A year ago, I can tell you precisely what each of those people would be doing on day one. The engineers would be typing. And everyone else would be doing the thing non-engineers do at a build like this, making the slides, writing up the pitch, getting lunch. Waiting to be useful at the end. Now look at the same room this week. By mid-afternoon on day one, the support person, the one who has never written a line of production code in her life, turns her laptop around. And there is a running application on the screen. Not a mock-up. Not a Figma. A thing you can click, that talks to a real data source, that does the one specific thing she has wanted the product to do for 2 years and has never once been able to get prioritized. She built it. By describing it. To an agent. In an afternoon. And the whole room has the same two reactions, in the same order, every single time. The first reaction is delight. Genuine, infectious delight because something that used to be impossible just happened in front of them, and it is wonderful. And the second reaction, maybe a beat later, quieter, is the one this episode is about. Somebody in the room looks at that beautiful running thing and realizes, nobody here can actually tell you if it is right. If run. It don't. It is exactly what she asked for. And not one person in that room can tell you whether what she asked for was the correct thing to ask for. Or whether the code under that clean demo would survive 10 minutes of a real adversary or a real Monday. That is the room. That gap between it runs and it is right, that gap is the whole story of what 4 days became. So, let me tell you what actually happened. Here is a thing about a time box build that nobody ever said out loud. Because we never had to. The clock was always a verification machine in disguise. Think about what 4 days actually did. We told ourselves the clock was about energy, about focus, about the satisfaction of building something real in a week. But mechanically, that clock was a test. It was a validator. When a team walked up at the end and the thing actually ran, when the demo worked and did not crash, that running demo was earned evidence. It proved something specific and expensive. It proved that the idea was real enough and understood well enough. That a few humans could actually construct it with their own hands in the time they had. The clock made building hard, and because building was hard, getting it to run meant something. It runs was a certificate, and the 4-day clock was what made the certificate cost something to obtain. Now collapse the cost of building to near zero. Which is exactly what agentic workflows did. Watch what happens to the certificate. When anyone in the room can get a thing running in an afternoon by describing it, it runs stops proving that the idea was buildable because everything is buildable now. It stops being earned. The demo still appears, it appears faster and more often and more polished than ever, but it no longer certifies what it used to certify. All it certifies now is that somebody could describe the thing plausibly enough for an agent to produce something that looks like it. The 4-day build did not just get faster. It lost the one free test it used to run on every single project, the test of construction, and most people running these have not noticed that the test is gone. So if building is no longer the hard part, what is? Go back to last week because this is gold red all over again and I am not going to belabor it. Any system has one bottleneck. Speed up something that is not the bottleneck and you get nothing but a bigger pile of inventory in front of the real constraint. In a 4-day build, construction used to be the bottleneck. The thing that gated whether your idea ever became real in the room. We removed it. And the instant we removed it, the constraint did what constraints always do. It moved upstream. It moved to the question that was always sitting there behind the building, quietly, hidden by how hard the building was. What should we build? And do we understand it well enough to say so clearly? That is what 4 days actually measures now. Not whether you can build, everyone can build. It measures who showed up knowing which thing was worth building, and who could describe it precisely enough that the agents produced the right thing instead of merely a thing. The 4-day build became a pure intent exercise. It is the most concentrated, fastest feedback intent laboratory I have ever stood inside. You and yeah, I didn't know whether but even that clearly, like, did I ever done? The agent did the wrong thing and you were certainly the proof. And notice what we had to take away to get there. A competition, whatever else you make of it, at least validates something. A judge picks a winner, and a ranking is a crude external check that one thing came out better than another. We did not run a competition. No judge. No prize. No clock pressure forcing anyone's hand. And because the agents made it runs free, there is not even a construction barrier left to clear. Strip all of that away and you are left with exactly one variable still under test. Did this team know what was worth building, and could they say it clearly? That is the purest isolation of intent I have ever watched a working process pull off. It is also, and we are going to come back to this hard in a few minutes, the reason every single thing that comes out the far end is unvalidated by construction. Nothing in that room was measuring whether the thing was right. That was never what the room was for. And that refrain changes who is good at this. Which is Act 2. For 30 years, the keyboard was a filter. Not a fair one. A filter. If you had a brilliant idea about the product but you could not write the code, a build like this was not really for you. You could pitch, you could advise, you could draw the picture, but you could not put your own hands on the thing and make it real, because making it real required a skill that took years to acquire and that had almost nothing to do with whether your idea was good. The person who understood the customer best and the person who could type the fastest were almost never the same person, and we built a whole industry that systematically handed the keys to the second one. Pull the keyboard out as the filter and watch who walks through the door. The support lead from the cold open. She has the highest resolution map of the product's pain of anyone in the building. She lives in it. For her entire career, that map has been trapped, because the distance between knowing what is wrong and being able to build what is right was a wall of syntax she was never going to climb. This week a wall came down, and the first thing she built was sharper and more useful than what the engineers built, and it is not close, and it is not a fluke. It is the obvious result. She had the best intent in the room. She was just never allowed to express it in running software before. Intent was always the scarce thing. We just could not see it, because it was standing behind a wall of typing and we kept mistaking the wall for the work. This is the democratization story, and it is real, and I am not going to oversell it, because the honest version is more interesting than the hyped version. The hyped version says everyone is an engineer now. That is not true and it is not what I saw. What I saw is narrower and more important. People who deeply understand a problem can now produce a working expression of the solution without an engineer standing between their intent and the artifact. And we are not only guessing about this anymore, remember that versatile number from the news, 63% of the people reaching for these builders are not developers. Hold it honestly, it is the people already inside the tent and not the whole industry, but it confirms the shape. The tooling vendors report the same from their side, people in legal and design, in operations, building their own small tools without an engineer in the loop. Be careful with the wilder claims floating around. You will hear that 80% of software will soon be built outside of the technology department, and that is a prediction, not a measurement, so file it as a guess. But the direction is not a guess. I watched it happen in a room with my own eyes. And here is where that orchestration shift from the top of the show does its quite important work. A four-day mixed team is not one engineer typing while everyone else hovers and offers opinions. It is the support lead conducting a couple of agents on her slice while an engineer conducts three more on the integration, while the designer drives the interface, every one of them directing, not one of them bottlenecked behind a single pair of hands. The team stops scaling to the size of its keyboard and starts scaling to the size of its intent. Which is exactly why the mix matters now in a way it never could before. You want the most different brains in that room you can find, because every one of them can actually build. Here is the part the tooling story leaves out, though, and it is the part that actually matters if you run a team. None of this works without the conditions. And the conditions are not technical. Think about what that support person had to do to turn her laptop around. She had to be willing to show a half-built, possibly wrong thing to a room that included engineers, the people who, in the old world, held all the status in that room. She had to risk looking naive. She had to operate as a peer in a group that, on the org chart, does not treat her as one. The only reason that prototype ever got shown is that the room was safe enough for her to show it. You already know the research here, and it is the spine of half of this show. Google's Project Aristaba went looking for what made some teams wildly more effective than others, and the number one factor, above talent, above seniority, above experience, was psychological safety. They felt permission to take a risk in front of your peers without being punished for it. In the old version of these 4 days, psychological safety was a nice to have. It made the week pleasant. In the agentic version, it is load-bearing, because the entire value of the exercise now depends on the person with the best intent feeling safe enough to put their hands on the keyboard in front of people who outrank them in the old hierarchy. Strip the safety out and the support lead makes slides again, and her 2-year-old insight stays locked in her head, and your 4 days go back to measuring typing speed, which is the one thing that no longer matters. So the agentic build does not just reward intent. It rewards distributed authority, flattening the room enough that intent can come from anywhere. The group that gets something genuinely real out of 4 days is not the group with the best engineers. It is the group that got the clearest intent into the room and was safe enough to let it drive, no matter who is carrying it. That is the whole anarchist case for how you run a team, and 4 days of agentic building just compressed the proof of it into a single week. Which would be a lovely place to stop. An uplifting episode. Everyone can build, the best idea surface flatten your hierarchy, go in peace. Except for the thing in the cold open. Except that nobody in the room could tell you if it was right. Let me ruin the party. There is a maneuver in aviation called a touch and go. The aircraft comes down, the wheels actually kiss the runway, and then, without ever stopping, without taxiing in, without anyone getting off, the pilot pushes the throttle back up and takes off again. It is a practice maneuver. The point of a touch and go is that it looks exactly like a landing right up until the moment it very much is not one. The wheels touched. Nobody arrived. That is the demo at the end of 4 days. And it is the most dangerous artifact your organization now produces. Here is why. Go back to the certificate from Act 1. The way it runs used to be earned evidence that the thing was real. That instinct is still wired into every person who watches a demo. When you see software run, some deep part of your brain marks it as done. That instinct was trained over decades when running was expensive, and the instinct has not updated. So now you have an exercise that manufactures running demos at near zero cost, shown to people whose every reflex says a running demo means the work is basically finished. The demo touches the runway. Everyone in the room files it as a landing. And nobody got off the plane. Remember the numbers from the radar, because now they bite. 95% of enterprise AI pilots never reach production. They demo, and then they die in the gap between the prototype and the real thing. And more than 80% of the VI-coded solutions that functionally worked still carried an exploitable vulnerability. Read those against what a demo actually shows you. A demo shows you the 80%, the parts that works, the happy path, the thing on the screen. A demo is structurally incapable of showing you the whole, because if the whole showed up in the demo, it would not be a hole, it would be a bug, and somebody would have fixed it. The demo and the defect live in different rooms. The whole point of a demo is to show the part that works, which means the better the demo, the more completely it hides the part that does not. And this is where what we stripped away back in Act 1 comes due. Remember, no judge, no clock, no construction barrier. Every validator the old version of this exercise leaned on, we pulled out, on purpose, because pulling them out is exactly what made it such a clean intent laboratory. But it also means the running thing on the screen passed through precisely zero validation gates to get there. The prototype that worked in the room routinely needs a near-total rebuild before it can survive real users. Nobody is lying to you. The room itself is built to manufacture things that look finished and are not, built that way deliberately, for a good reason. And that is exactly why it is so dangerous to trust what walks out of it. This is the same crack we ended on last week, and it has the same name, so let me say it precisely. There is a difference between verification and validation. Verification asks, did we build the thing right? Validation asks, did we build the right thing? 4 days of agentic building is spectacular at producing things that look verified, it runs, it is clean, it demos. It does almost nothing about validation, because validation requires knowing what the right thing actually was, and that knowledge lives only in a human head, and it cannot be inferred from a running screen. The researcher Shivendu Lahiri at Microsoft Research named this exact problem in a paper this spring that I cannot recommend enough, and the line I want you to hold is verified and verbatim. The gap between informal natural language requirements and precise program behavior, he calls it the intent gap, has always plagued software engineering. But AI-generated code, he says, amplifies it to an unprecedented scale. Amplifies it. Not creates it. The gap was always there. But 4 days of agentic building is an intent gap amplifier, because it produces more plausible looking, less validated software per hour than any process humans have ever invented. And Lahiri's hardest sentence is the one that closes the door on the easy escape. There is, he writes, no oracle for specification correctness other than the user. There is no machine, no test, no scanner, no agent that can tell you whether the spec was right. Only a human can. The demo cannot validate itself, and neither can the thing that built it. So here's the uncomfortable claim, and it is the center of the whole episode. 4 days of cross-functional agentic building is the best intent laboratory we have ever had, and a factory for plausible, unvalidated demos. And those are not two separate facts you have to balance. They are the same fact. The exact property that makes it a great intent lab, that it strips away the cost of construction so that pure intent can express itself instantly, is the exact property that mass produces demos that look finished and are not. You cannot have one without the other. The stripping away is the gift, and the stripping away is the danger. Same move. Same instant. The thing that lets the support lead express her insight in an afternoon is the same thing that lets her and you mistake an afternoon of expressed insight for a shipped, validated, safe product. What do you do with that? You do not stop running these. The intent lab is too valuable. You change what you think the output is. The output of 4 days of agentic building is not the software. The software is a touch and go. It was never going to taxi to the gate. The real output, the thing worth carrying out of the room, is the intent it's discovered. You now know what is worth building, and you know who understood it, and you have a running sketch that proves the shape of it. That is goal. That is genuinely faster discovery of what matters than any planning process ever gave you. But it is discovery. It is the beginning of the work, dressed up in the costume of the end of the work. There is a useful distinction making the rounds from the writer Simon Willison between vibe coding and what he calls vibe engineering. Vibe coding is what happens in those 4 days. Describe it, watch it run, feel the magic, do not look too hard at what came out. Vibe engineering is what has to happen after, the same speed, but with the discipline of someone who refuses to ship code they could not explain to another human, who writes the tests, who states what correct means and checks against it. The 4-day build gives you vibe coding for free. The shipping is all vibe engineering, and none of it is free, and the demo will lie to you about how much of it is left. Most of the work is still in front of you at the exact moment it feels finished. So the thesis, play me. When you take construction out of the 4 days, what is left is pure intent, which is why it is now the best laboratory you have for discovering what to build and who understands it. But intent is the input to software, not the software. The running demo is a touch and go, the wheels kiss the runway and not one passenger arrived. Mistake it for a landing and you will taxi a plane full of vulnerabilities to the gate and call it a delivery. The gift of those 4 days is the intent. Keep that. The code was always going to take off again. Let me land this somewhere you can act on, starting Monday. Three moves. First, if you run one of these, be clear with yourself and everyone in the room about what you are actually proving. The point of 4 days is not to come out the other side with a product. It is to come out knowing something you did not know on Monday, what is worth building, and whether you can say it clearly. So judge it on that. Not on the cleanest looking running thing, because rewarding the best demo trains your whole org to mistake a plausible demo for finished work, which is the single most expensive instinct you could possibly build right now. Judge it on the intent. Did this team discover something genuinely worth building? Can they now state, in plain specific language, what correct would mean for it, what it must do, what it must never do, how you would know it worked? The spec they can write at the end is the asset. The demo is the wrapping paper. Second, for everyone who builds, treat every prototype that comes out of one of these as a question, never an answer. The demo is the agent's hypothesis about what you meant. Before any of it goes near a customer, do the vibe engineering pass, sit down and write the acceptance criteria the demo was secretly assuming, the ones nobody said out loud, and then actually validate against them. And make the throwaway or commit decision explicitly, out loud, as a real fork in the road. Either this was a touch and go and we keep the intent and rebuild it for real, or we are committing to land it, which means it now has to earn a real landing, tests, review, someone who can explain every line. What you must never do is let a prototype taxi quietly to the gate because it looked done in the room. Looking done in the room is the one thing it is guaranteed to do. Third, and this is for the managers, and it is the most important one. Put your non-engineers in the cockpit. On purpose. The democratization is not a party trick. It is the actual prize, and most of you are going to waste it by keeping the keyboard in the same hands it has always been in. The support lead who can now prototype her own idea is worth more to you than a marginally faster engineer, because she closed a gap that has cost you for years, the distance between the people who understand the problem and the people who can express a solution. Build the conditions that let that happen. Make the room safe enough that the person with the best intent and the lowest status will actually turn their laptop around. That safety is now low-bearing infrastructure, not company culture fluff. And then, when the 4 days are over, be the adult who says the quiet part, wonderful, now none of this is shipped yet, here is what landing it actually takes. Be the one who knows the difference between a touch and go and an arrival. Go back to the room. Day 1, mid-afternoon. The support lead turns her laptop around, and there is a running thing on the screen that did not exist that morning, and the whole room lights up. That light is real. Something genuinely changed, and it is good, and you should feel it. Just remember what you are looking at. The wheels touch the runway. The work now is to figure out whether this plane should ever land at all, and if it should, to actually bring it down. Lolly. On purpose. With somebody in the tower who knows where it was always supposed to go. That is the intent. That was always the only cargo worth carrying off. That is episode 5 of Land the Plane. 5 weeks on one arc now, psychological safety, the people, the moment of review, the verification bottleneck, and then the 4 days where all of it collides and you can watch the whole thing happen at speed. Which lands us, finally, right at the doorstep of where this show has been walking the whole time. If the output of the work is intent, if the demo is just intent wearing a costume, and the real cargo is knowing what to build and being able to say it, then the obvious next question is what it would look like to treat intent as the actual artifact. To capture it, version it, keep it, build from it on purpose, instead of discovering it by accident in a 4-day build and letting it evaporate on Monday. That is the intent layer. That is where we go next, and it is where we have been going since episode 1. Until then, run the experiment. Keep the intent. And do not taxi a touch and go to the gate. This has been Land the Plane.